Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the book of Revelation, seven local churches in what is now Turkey each received a personal word from Jesus. These words tell us what he thought of those churches, and by implication, what he thinks of our churches today. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins an 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn now to the opening chapters of Revelation for part 1, A Vision of Jesus.
During the next few moments, I want you to be thinking about two questions. First question is this: what does Jesus think of Moody Church? And then the second question, which is related, is simply this: what does Jesus think of you? How are you doing? And I could even throw in a third question, and that is this: how good a listener are you? Are you able to hear the voice of God? But I begin today with Domitian. He was one of the early emperors in the great Roman Empire, and he was one of the first emperors who demanded emperor worship. He wanted all of the Christians in his realm, along with everyone else, to worship him and to honor him as a god. The Christians, of course, couldn't do that. Christianity has always clashed with political regimes that are antithetical to the sovereignty of Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As a result of some of the persecutions, there was an island by the name of Patmos. It's about 10 miles long and 6 miles wide, very rocky. Not too many people were able to survive on Patmos, but it was on that island that John the Apostle was exiled to, probably to work in some mines, some primitive mines, very, very hard work that the Romans had, and that's where the exiles were taken to do some work for the empire. It was in that context that John had the experience, and I hope that your Bible is open to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to pick it up there at verse 9. He says, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and patient endurance in Jesus, I'm here because of persecution, and I am your brother." We are all, after all brothers and sisters in Jesus, and John is a partner in Jesus and a partner in suffering, which the early church actually always expected. They expected suffering as a Christian. And he goes on to say in the text, he says, "I was in the Spirit." I'm glad it's capitalized, because that is the Holy Spirit. He was in the Spirit. God gave him a vision of things that no one could ever know or predict unless God gave it to him. You read the book of Revelation and you know that no man, no matter how creative, no man could have come up with the book of Revelation and made the predictions that the book of Revelation makes. So John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," could be the first day of the week, maybe. Maybe also a reference to the day of the Lord, the time when God is going to wrap up history. And maybe what John is saying, I was able to see into the Lord's day, the final triumph of Jesus over history. And he says, "I was in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard behind me a voice like the sound of the trumpet." In the Old Testament, the trumpet was always a command. That's the way armies went to battle. When you heard the trumpet, you knew that you were being commanded and your attention was necessary. He says, "I heard the voice like a sound of a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." If you see these on a map and they're all in Turkey, you can begin with Ephesus, and then if you go counterclockwise in an arc, you'll end up with Laodicea. All the seven churches, write what I'm going to tell you and send it to the seven churches. And with that, John then sees a vision of Jesus. Before we look into this vision briefly, I want to ask you a question today. Just between you and me, who is Jesus to you today? Many people have what I call the Christmas Jesus. The Christmas Jesus is Jesus as a baby. And you're a Christmas Christian. Jesus and the baby at Christmas, and you kind of love it. We think, for example, of Simeon, who held the baby Jesus in his hands. And there are some churches that actually have a prayer based on what Simeon said. And to many people, Jesus is the baby of the manger. There are others for whom Jesus is the rabbi. Jesus is the teacher. He is the one who instructs people and gives the wonderful sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. That's who Jesus is to some people. And then for others, he's more than that. He's the Easter Jesus. He's the Jesus who died and rose again. And for them, Jesus is a Savior. And well, he might be. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus is a lot more than that. He is all that and more. He is Jesus, the Judge. And that's who we look at today. Jesus, the returning, triumphant Judge. Now let's look at the text. John says that I turned to see the voice and I saw seven golden lampstands. Pause there. What are the lampstands? Verse 20, Jesus explains it and says that the lampstands are the seven churches. Now why is it that you have the number seven? You had many different churches in that part of the world. Why number seven? It's because the number seven is a number of completeness. God says these seven churches, I believe that they are representative churches of all the churches that have ever existed. I believe that one of these seven churches is best represented, that Moody Church best represents one of these seven churches. Every church has the characteristics of many of the churches, but predominantly one. In fact, there are those who believe that actually the seven churches even represent seven periods of church history. So God says, whatever you need to know about a church, whatever kind of church you have, you can find it in chapters 2 and 3, where I write the letters to the seven churches. And where is Jesus found in this? You'll notice that he is among the lampstands. I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man. This is reminiscent of Daniel, who predicted the coming of the Messiah. And Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is a picture of Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man. And on earth he was found crucified between two criminals. Now, as the resurrected judge, he stands among the lampstands. He is standing among the churches, and the implications for us are overwhelming. Now, what I'd like to do in the next few moments is to move through very quickly this description of Jesus, nine different phrases are used to describe the triumphant Jesus, the Jesus who is going to return again. And let's look at the text. It says, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe. When he was on earth, the gamblers, they cast lots for his robe, such as it was. Well, those days are over, and now he is the triumphant one, and he is dressed in elegance, and he is dressed like a king. And no one, No one is dickering over his robe. You'll notice that the text goes on to say that there was a sash around his chest. It says in the 19th chapter of John, verse 2, that when Pilate was ridiculing Jesus, the Bible says that they put a robe on him and they mocked him and said, "You're the king of the Jews." And they spit on him and they pulled out his beard. No one is doing that now. The sash that he was wearing around his chest was symbolic of kingship. And no one is mocking him. No one is making fun of this portrait of Jesus. And then we go on and it says that his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. We think, for example, of that head which had a crown of thorns. And it is that head that blood splattered down his face when he was so cruelly mocked and ridiculed. Now he has a head that is white. The hair is white. Symbol of dignity, symbol of power. And this head that the Bible says when Jesus was on earth, he had nowhere to lay his head. This head now is striking in its appearance, and Jesus is standing in utter triumph and dignity. Yes, you can clap if you want. And now notice also, the scriptures goes on and it says in the next verse, it says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. Oh, my friend, today, I hope that you tune in next time for the rest of this message. We need to see Jesus Christ in a different light. Today we find that there are those who think that because Jesus said we should love one another, that that is the sum of who he was and is. Well, yes, Jesus Christ does love, and he taught us to love each other, but he's more than that. Someday the Bible says he is going to come in judgment. God was very gracious in giving this vision to John, and I'm so glad that John wrote it down so that you and I could contemplate it, so we could contrast it with the way in which he looked when he was here on earth, and know indeed that he is not just our Savior. He is our coming King. The Bible says that he will return in blazing fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people there are in our society today who are aware that there is this aspect to Jesus. This is actually a message in a series entitled What Jesus Thinks of His Church. And from here, later on, we're going to be going into the seven churches of Revelation, where Jesus has a message for us today. You stay tuned. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer introducing us to What Jesus Thinks of His Church with a message on A Vision of Jesus, taken from Revelation chapter 1. Next time, the vision continues. What Jesus Thinks of His Church is an 8-part series we'd like to send you on CD. It's our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about What Jesus Thinks of His Church. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.